boundary would be between me and somebody else. If anybody crossed my boundary, for what reason? Did I do something? Did I say something?
My grandmom had a rough childhood and a rocky relationship with her father.
Well, he was my father, but he didn't respect people like he should. He was nasty. He was a rude person, especially when he drank a lot. But he was a hard worker. I mean, he worked for Collins Knightmans. He was a patent maker for rugs. He was always in a cage, which he did fine. He also was with the Manayunk policemen. He joined him and a couple other guys joined their, like a Phillies baseball team, which was great. But when he had drink in him, he was a nasty, rude person. He'd only thought of himself, drinking and smoking this and that. But my mother never saw anything wrong in him. It's not that I didn't love my father. I didn't dislike him. It's just...
She never really did continue what she was saying, whether or not she loved him. When I asked her exactly what boundaries he crossed, it always came back to the relationship between him and her mother. She even spoke about an incident she'll never forget.
But my mother went through hell. But then there was days I don't know whatever, how many, but there's many times when I saw him hit my mother, and I'll never forget, she was carrying my brother Eddie, and he went through her up against the third floor steps, and I saw that, and I said, I went after him, and I threw him down the steps, and I didn't give a damn whether he got up, whether he was dead or not, but he was pushing my mother around while she was pregnant, and that didn't go with me. I wasn't afraid of him, and there's many times I pushed him on his side because he needed me, and he lay there, and I always said to my mom, don't pick him up. So she never did. She always agreed because she knew what kind of a man he was.
When I asked her to reflect on the situation that she went through, she went on saying that she didn't have any regrets.
I would do it all over again.
I asked her if this experience changed who she was or developed who she is today.
No, I don't think so. Because when I got married, I had a very good man. I had my kids. And I know I would never put up with what my mother did. No way. But I had a good man. We worked together. We went places together. At that time, we only had Tommy. And we always took him with us, no matter where we went.
I also asked her if she had any last words about her father.
So, where he is at today, I hope he's rested in peace. That's all I can say, really.
My mom had a completely different childhood growing up in Macedonia.
Basically, hanging in somebody's house, sometimes we'd be doing homework together, then playing outdoors. We didn't have toys. We might had one bike like for the whole block, and we would all be taking turns. So it was just mostly running around, playing with little stuff that we found on the street. The best part was, because where I grew up, we had the lake was nearby, and our summers were awesome. We all hanging at the beach, swimming, playing games at the beach, meeting people from all over the country. There were a lot of camps for teenagers or Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. A lot of groups that came from different countries. Like, there was no boundaries, fear that it might be dangerous. We would just befriend anybody. I had also chores. I was helping my parents. My mom had her own business. So I would spend a lot of hours with them helping them run the business. but I also had free time. And that's what I enjoyed. And maybe we had one ball and one bike, so if we were 20 people, we were just taking turns or playing with that one ball that we had. We all learned how to ride on that same bike that one person had. My friends from childhood are still my friends now, and it's great that after so many years, I was able to befriend them again on Facebook. And when I saw them after so many years, actually this past summer, it felt like and nobody changed. The same people and have same goals and trying, have the same concerns with our families.
We have our traditions, we have birthdays, we travel together. We spend a lot of time together. We're a very close family.
Do you think family comes first before everything?
Absolutely.
I also asked her if she influenced the boundaries of her children to this day or while they were growing up.
I don't think it's my business to tell them whether they're doing wrong. If they don't know that they're doing wrong, hey, it's their own fault. I mean, if they're doing wrong, and if I go up and say to them, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't say this to them, you know, I mean, they can always come back at me and say, why don't you mind your own business? Mm-hmm. These are my children. They're on your grandchildren. They're on your children. So I don't think it would be my place to even interfere in their life.
After the talk about her father, we moved on to present day. I asked her if she crossed any boundaries daily in her life.
Well, if people think that I shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that, tell me. Maybe I am doing something wrong. I don't know.
So do you
but
like
if it? I'm doing something right and you're telling me it's wrong, I don't think that's right either. But as far as people shouldn't look at other people, what they do or they say, because most of them and some of them, they should look on their own doorstep, because they might have more problems than what I have or what other people have. And some people just looks for other people for arguments or something like that, you know, but people shouldn't talk about other people, especially they have children. People shouldn't talk about other people's children or family. Especially, they still have their own. And it's hard.
We started to get in the topic of raising children and how different it was since she started.
It's hard because I think raising children nowadays are hard because the mother and father both have to work. And you don't know too much about babysitters. And I know grandparents loves to watch the kids. But sometimes that's wrong too, because the grandparents try to do their best, but then the kids feel they want to do or say things on their own.
She brought up the fact that children sometimes cross boundaries with their parents in the things they do or they say. I wondered if, in her opinion, parents ever cross boundaries with their children.
Sometimes, but sometimes they have to. Because maybe the children are doing something that the parents think they shouldn't do. Or I think the kids, some children, I guess they probably sit and talk with their parents. Even if they talk to one parent, it's fine, you know. But it's hard. It's hard with the kids anymore. Parents should understand. Some parents just goes over and think that they should be the boss of everything, of what the child does. If you see them doing wrong, try and correct them. Sit and speak to them. But parents nowadays, it's hard. But I think the kids nowadays should be closer to the parents. But like I say, a lot of them has to work for a living, you know. And are the kids taking advantage of a lot of them? I think they do. But it's hard to say because you don't live with that person. So you don't really know what the situation is in that family.
Going to a new school at AB Day. And it was really difficult trying to fit in with everybody else. And so I had to find my way through. And it really changed me because I had to learn their ways. And it's not like I'm at my old school, which they go a different way than the school that I'm in now. So.
In what ways did you try to fit in to a new school? And what ways was it different from your old school to your new school?
This school, I think people talk about you more than the old school. Like, for instance, the way I write, I used to write using, how do you say this? You know how you write like this?
Mm-hmm.
With your two fingers? Like,
with two fingers?
Yeah. Instead of using one, instead of using this, I had to change the way I write like that because I looked around the room, everybody's writing different. And they were like, why? And they always ask me a question, like, why do you write like that? And I was like, I don't know. They said, well, how do you write like that? So I just thought, I might as well just change the way I write.
So, do you feel like you were pressured into changing up and trying to fit into a new school?
The way I dress.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought that name brand, well, I do now, that name brand is everything. I think it now because that's what really changed me. Everybody talked about the way somebody dressed or how the way they put their clothes on, like tuck your shirt in and stuff, or if it's Abercrombie or Air Pastel or something like that. And it's like you have to try to find the way to make yourself fit in into everybody else. So you're going to change the way you are. So really, I had to change the way I dress. I couldn't dress like the way I wanted to without being talked about or without having anybody tell me, ew, why do you dress like that or something like that. So that's what really made me change.
So do you feel pressured? Like, so you basically you felt pressured?
Yes.
How much so, like you just wanted to fit in? Was it that, or you just did it because everybody else did it, so you thought it was cool?
It goes both ways, because I thought that it might have been cool, and I might have more friends. But,
So, how would you describe a boundary? Like, how would you describe a change in your life, like a boundary? Like, does it have to be something major, minor? Like a boundary that you crossed in your life.
It doesn't really matter. It's still going to be a boundary. And somebody, like, it doesn't matter what the situation is or anything.
I don't know. So, I know that you had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Did that change you in any way on how you lived your life?
Yes, it did.
How so?
The way I walked, it affected everybody else. Well, it didn't really affect any. Actually, it did because I tried to fit in, and then all of a sudden I found out I have arthritis. Really.
So, in your knees, right?
Yes. So, I had, the way I walked, everybody laughed at me and stuff. So, yeah.
So, the way you're explaining boundaries is as if you were mostly pressured into fitting in.
Yes. Basically. Like you said about arthritis, a story. When I found out, when I found out I have it, I couldn't walk, so that it really was a boundary. It was a boundary, because I didn't know what to do. I couldn't walk, so I had to face the fact that nobody probably would like me. So
in what ways did you try to fit in, knowing that you had arthritis in your knees?
I found nice friends. That's the only way. Like, I had to find good, friends, like, nice friends. They're not even, if a person talks about you, that's not a friend. And they talk about you behind you or, confront you. That's still not a good, if it's in a nice way, I find that being nice. But if they come up to you really harsh to tell you, well, why do you walk like that? You look so ugly. When I was in first grade, when I found out I had arthritis, it was really hard for me to know that I did, but at the same time, I had to acknowledge it. So when I was in first grade, I used to get more attention than other kids, and I had one friend that really respected that I really had got more attention than her, but she really was a good friend, didn't say nothing like the other kids, and she made me feel more comfortable to know that it's at least one person that could be my friend. And so after a while, she really had made me feel like I wasn't really alone, like I wasn't just a kid all by themselves. And she really made me feel comfortable in school, which I had a problem walking. I was limping and everything, so it was really difficult.
My mom compares her childhood to today's childhood.
Today, kids are mostly indoors playing video games. They have all possible toys that are out there, all possible electronics. And the worst part is that they don't like to share. Because I see it that they get attached to their own things, and it's really, they have a hard time sharing that. They get really upset if somebody is using their toy or their game.
In my interview, I talked to my brother's friend, Nick. He's in the sixth grade. He's grown up with several learning disabilities that's stopped him from doing many things. He's now talking about how he grew up in his childhood during school.
Well, it was pretty nice until fourth grade. the one teacher, Miss Langdon, let's just say, she isn't the nicest person in the world.
She ruined your middle school experience.
Oh yeah, I had to leave school.
Right. Nick describes his favorite part of his childhood.
I would actually say once in when I finally moved in fifth grade to my new school.
Nick grew up as an only child. He now talks about the relationship he had with his parents.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They really supported. Yeah, me and my dad would have our up and downs, but we would always work them out. And my mom, she was just, I can't say anything about my mom.
Growing up, Nick always had a happy, kind personality. He now talks about the way he acts towards new people.
Actually, no, because I was never really a shy person, maybe when I was like four or something. But then I've been always just like, hi, you know, but like when I get a vibe from people easily.
Yeah.
So when, like, I feel something, like, this isn't the right place, or this person I shouldn't be hanging out with, because of just the vibe and how they look, I just know it. And so, you know, I'll be polite and stuff, but, you know, I might go, you know, if I'm, like, near my neighborhood, I might be, like, I might, like pretend, like, my mom just sent me a text, and I'll go, like, oh, here, I gotta go in to eat.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, my friends
would... The polite...
Yeah, say politely, no, the polite yeah. Way.
Although Nick is young, lots has happened during his middle school years. His karate had changed his life forever. He's now thriving in his new school where he gets help and has lots of nice friends.
Since there are both negative and positive aspects to this entire story, I wanted to know what she thought of boundaries in her life. Were they more for the positive or for the negative?
Well, I think it's positive. Well, I think I try across the I try not to cross anybody's boundary because everybody's to each their own. Let them do or say what they want. But as far as me crossing any boundaries, I don't think I did. I think let the people do what they want. Let them say what they want. As long as I'm not in on anything or in any conversations or don't ask me for my advice about anything or are they crossing boundary or are they, but who am I to tell them what to do, what not to do? No, I think everybody should do what they want to do, say what they want to do, and don't condemn anybody else. You should think of yourself first. You should think before you even say anything that comes out of your mouth. Leave everyone else alone. Do what you want to do. But your first priority, if you have a family, think of yourself. Think of your family. Don't worry about anybody else. Because I'm almost sure they're not going to worry about you.
Recently, my brother's girlfriend, she crossed big boundaries with my kids, saying things about my kids and stuff, and just being downright nasty and things that she's done. They're unforgivable. She crossed big boundaries.
Do you believe that karma will get her back?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What do you think of jealousy, like?
What do I think of jealousy?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of jealous people in the world. I just don't say it because you should be thankful for what you have. I just don't understand why people are so evil and jealous. I think it's a really big quality in people. And she wanted it to be that way with her kids and my brother and her, and it just wasn't. And it never will be. And she looks at that and wants it to be that way, and it won't be.
So what do you feel about revenge?
I think revenge, I think people would love to get revenge on people, but I always think that what goes around comes around. So if I think about something that somebody did to me, which I have somebody who did something to me recently, and I would really, really like to get revenge, but when I think about things that I could do, I worry about how I would get caught, because you always get caught. I worry about the consequences that I would pay for doing it, even though she seems to get away with it all the time, I know I would get caught and I wouldn't even want to chance it. So I'm not a revenge kind of a person.
How did you like learn that? Like what you do comes back? Do you have like a time when you did something to someone else and it came back to you? Or the plan backfired or something like that?
I do. I remember being out of high school, and my friend had a boyfriend that she wasn't really crazy about. We knew it. He asked me out, and we were sneaking behind her back. And then she finally found out, and one of my friends did the same thing to me right after that. She started going out with one of my old boyfriends to be spiteful, but she figured if I did it to her, it was okay for her to do it to me. I didn't do it to be deceitful. I really liked him, so I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but the thing that I did wrong, I should have told her and not hit it. You know what I mean?
How do you think she would have responded when you told her?
She probably would have been mad. Like any girl would be mad.
Are you guys still friends?
Yep.
Does she ever like bring it up?
Never.
Is that the only story that you have about revenge?
Yeah, because I don't do revenge. I don't like revenge at all.
Did someone like that you know tell you about a plan and you want to stay out of it?
That they wanted to do revenge on somebody?
But you were scared it was going to come back to you, if, even if you, like,
helped about it or anything like that?
No, nobody ever asked me to do anything about revenge, but I had another incident in my life where I had somebody that totally tortured me for about 8 years, and I used to sit and think, oh my God, how can I get her back? I could do this. I could say, come and meet me here, and then beat her up, and then do this. And then I would sit there and think, I'll be caught. I know I'll get caught. And what I do is definitely going to come back. So you know what? I feel as though everybody gets their day. So just leave it alone, and you'll see when it comes back to them for what they do. I think revenge is evil.
The girl that you were talking about, the one that you wanted to, like, beat up or whatever, did anything ever happen to her?
Mm-hmm. She passed away.
Are you, like, I think that's too extreme, don't you? Like,
that she passed away? Well, I didn't wish that she passed away. She was the kind of girl that used to wish stuff on herself. Always. She used to say, oh, I think I have cancer. They think I have lung cancer. And one day, when they say, be careful what you wish for, she really did have cancer. And it wasn't lung cancer, it was brain cancer and lung cancer.
Was she a part of the family?
Yep.
How did it affect the family? Because I know family's a big thing.
It affected our family because her daughter is my stepdaughter. And it affected an 8-year-old girl's life that, who is now 20, lives with us. And even though she tortured me for 8 years, I really, really felt bad when it happened to her. All I could think about was she was leaving her babies, and I felt terrible. And I still, to this day, think, revenge. I'm glad I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Revenge is really upsetting nowadays, because the first thing that comes to people's minds, especially the young people, it's somebody hit you, you want to hit them back. Somebody did something bad, and you want to do the same for them. I don't want to see any kind of revenge. That really upset me when people are doing things intentionally out of revenge. Conversations should be always positive.
How can you approach someone to make it nonviolent?
When people's adrenaline goes up, they don't think right. So the first step would be to get them at the stage that they can't think straight, to be calm about the situation and to see it the way it is and not the way they think it is. So you have to have facts before you making any assumptions and wanted to take action about it.
How did you do that?
Well, you remember when you were in sixth grade, you had a problem with a bully. Mm-hmm. So we reported that to the bully hotline. We had a talk with the counselor. Then you sat down with the person that was bullying you, and like a week later, you became best friends.
So you're saying you need supervision in that conversation. Is that possible, or it doesn't matter?
Of course, the third person to be involved, it always helps. Can always solve the problem just with the two sides, because they don't want to see it the way it is. But when you have the middle person, would be objective and telling each side where they're going right or wrong. 2 years ago, my purse was stolen. We went to court about it. I didn't want the person to go to jail because I could tell that she was mentally challenged or troubled. So what I wanted for her was to get help, psychiatric help. But she was already in jail for other crimes, and I don't know if that took place. But that's where my point of view is, depending on the crime, people shouldn't just go to jail. They should get some kind of treatment for them to see where the problem is.
My definition of a boundary are guidelines that people follow through life. Like, it's sort of like a law to me. Not really like a law, but something that you follow, like the things that you will and will not do in your life. My boundaries for life were always to respect my elders, be kind to people, treat people the way you want to be treated. And I always believe what you do to somebody else always comes back to you. So I try to stay within that boundary, and I never cross somebody or I never do something that I don't want done back to me, or I don't say anything that could bounce back to me. As kids, we always cross boundaries. When I was really little, in kindergarten, I remember being a bully. Until this day, I hate myself for ever doing that. And I look back on the situation, and I learned from the situation, because after I did it, to be like I was a tough girl or whatever in front of my friends. I was really only 5 or 6. But I remembered that experience and how bad that little girl felt. And I tried to bring myself up after that to never bully anybody, and to teach my kids never to bully anybody. And that was a really bad experience. And that's one boundary I would never, ever cross again.
So what did you do, like, to bully her?
Oh my God, I was so fresh. I was bigger than her, and she was one of those little girls who was, like, not really poor, but not really. She was a little poor girl, and everybody made fun of her, and of course me. I, you know, punched her one day in the arm, and she started crying. And after she started crying, I really felt bad. And then after we became friends, I felt so bad after I did it.
So looking back, like, as a kid, would you do your life over again?
I have no regrets. I think everything. I learned a lot of lessons. I think I'm a good person. I try to be a good person anyway. I try to do the right thing. I try to help people out. I do respect my elders.
What's your biggest regret?
Fighting someone.
Who did you fight?
A kid who said something. It was a girl, basically. She said something. I didn't fight her for her brother. She said something disrespectful. It got on my nerves. I got up. Her brother showed up. Said blah, 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 blah. I punched him. And we fought.
What was it that crossed the line that made you need to punch him?
So basically, he said, "You're nothing but a little pussy ass nigga."
In my mind, that phrase means that you're not good enough to be a human being. We were arguing about something, and then she thought she was right. I thought I was right. So we started yelling. We started screaming, using foul words. Her brother was over there hanging out with his friends. And then one of his friends told him their sisters were there yelling with some boy. And he just came in and just got in the middle of this conversation. And, you know, she crossed a line that I drew. And her brother also trespassed onto my property over something his sister has done. First, me and the girl were talking. I don't remember what the argument was basically about.
Was it an opinion or factual?
It was a fact, but like one of us was wrong. So, and we both didn't want to admit that we were wrong. So we just kept going in, and as we did, it stirred up and we just kept getting angrier. And no one came to correct us. So as usually happens, the argument gets bigger and bigger. The more bigger it gets, you know, the more difficult it becomes. And something breaks down.
So what was your relationship with the girl?
Well, she was my friend, so yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
How close?
Not so much. Just became friends, so distant friends, basically.
What about your relationship with her brother?
Me and her brother weren't that cool, so it wasn't that hard to beat him up. You know? We crossed the line, and there was a little bit of anger, so I had to use a little too.
He describes the kind of person he is and talks about his boundaries he makes for himself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I'm not that much of a daring person. I don't go, like, oh, yeah, Nick, go hop the fence. No, I'm not hopping that fence.
So you don't get into peer pressure or anything? You
stick by yourself? Sometimes I feel it, but that I know not to, and I don't.
Nick now tells the story about how some neighborhood kids had crossed his boundaries.
Definitely. I think it was 2 years ago. Some of the guys in my neighborhood, it was late at night, there was a party on this out back of this one house, and we were just, you know, messing around. And one of them said, oh, hey, let's go play tag. And so they said, oh, put both feet in. So, like everybody else, they did. The one kid grabs my leg, and this is all true, and pulls me and drags me on the ground outside when it's dark, and my shirt goes up, and it's scraping against my back, and I'm yelling, stop, stop, and I'm yelling, help, and then they finally stop. And then I was like, what in the world was that for? And they were just laughing.
Are these kids older than you?
Most of them are, but not by, like, that much. And then one of them is, like, he was 10, I believe. And he was one of the main people. His name was Matt. And then we go down the one street, and that's where I made my mistake. Because then right in front of my one friend, Ricky's house, that out of the blue, they just basically jumped me. And at the time, I did not know self-defense, which now I'm going for because of this. And that I didn't know what else to do but curl up in a ball on the ground, and I was screaming, help, help, and stop. And I was actually cursing because I was, like, so, I didn't know what to do. I never been in this situation because, like, I don't get in fights. And so then the one kid, getting on top of me and slapping me and all this. And then he got off, and then I'm just screaming at him. And then the one kid goes, take his phone! Take his phone! And I cursed him, and I said, you are not taking my phone! I know what you can do! And he's like, geez, I was just trying to say sorry. I'm like, no, you weren't! You know, I'm smarter than that! And so then that I just screamed up, called my dad, and then my mom came out, and my dad, and then some parents came out. The one that was on top of me, their parent, you know, said, what in the world to him? She was really mad at him. And then the other ones were just like, oh, well, boys will be boys, and that's what they do. And nah. And I'm sorry to say this, but it was just a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. And so then my mom and dad just went in. And so then I go walk with two of my friends that were not there. And that then the two parents in front of us said, oh my gosh, Nick's mom, oh my gosh, how could she be? Or like something like that. And they turn around and I'm just in shock standing there. And then they go, oh, like don't talk anymore. And I'm just like, really? And so then I run up to my mom and dad and I told them what happened. And then they're just like, Nick, just come in. And so I did. And ever since, I really haven't played with them.
So, are you? They still in your neighborhood, like near you?
Oh yeah, they're right. I live at like my street's kind of like a T, mm-hmm. And that they live on. I live on the cross, and they live up and down, and they still are there. You know, they're still going out, but I'm not messing with them. You know, and they have a nocturne, and I'm glad.
After the incident with the neighborhood kids, Nick's mom put him in karate classes to help build up his confidence and help him with self-defense. He now describes his karate life.
to, like, get one belt for a kid. Mm-hmm. And so I have three stripes on my white belt. And we don't say sensei in jiu-jitsu, but that one of the Professor Leonardo Xavier, you can also look him up, that he's coming, and I saw him a year ago, because I've been taking this for a year now, and that he gave me my first two stripes, and I was the first one.
That's good.
And so I'm thinking that I'm going to get my fourth one when he comes. I've just been so happy. I'm trying to come all the time. You know, sometimes I'll have those moments where I'm just like, oh, my gosh, because I worked out so hard. I just want to take a break. But,
yeah.
You know, but then when I go and then I come out, I'm just like, I'm glad I went. And I'm great at the bow staff now. And my sensei is really nice.
I asked my mom if coming to the United States was one of her regrets.
I did regret it in the beginning a lot, until I found a job, until I made my family, bought my house. Then everything started feeling like home. I always wanted to go back to school, so I got my associate's degree, and then I was planning to go further, but because of financial situation, I couldn't do it.